Yep. Give me a nod when you're ready. Junior's ready. Stand by.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Bolts and Bourbon. Today, I'm going to be moderating the conversation between my co-host, Matt Gunlock, and also James Gill. We've had James on before. He was on the episode of Jared Dalton talking about the backstory for the action shooting team component of the Marine Corps shooting team. But the news today is that these gentlemen are taking over the training side of the tactical games. They are spearheading a program to bring a new level of marksmanship to the tactical games. A little bit of a backstory. So the tactical games started off as a pure competition and has eventually grown parts or branches dedicated towards training. So there's affiliate groups that do training. There's an athlete camp. There's conditioning programs. There's dry fire programs. But what Matt and James are doing is basically creating instruction focused on marksmanship. To basically bring a higher level of shooting to the games. So real quick, guys, I mean, how's the process been so far? Like, what have you guys been putting together? I'll let you start, Matt.
So essentially what we're trying to do, and it's, I guess the best way of putting it, it's all in-person training. And what that means is, like, the tactical games affiliate training days, the Tactical Games University and training camp. What we're trying to do is more or less trying to create a curriculum that every single person within that affinity and that's part of in-person training can follow along with. That way everybody's spending time teaching the same exact thing. You know, everybody is on the same page. Not one person is teaching their own flavor of what they think. All the language is going to be the same. So whenever you go to the games, you can more or less be speaking the same language. Everybody there has been trained on the exact same thing. So what James and I have been working on so far is a curriculum for that. Currently, it is sitting at around 55 pages, and it's broken down into fundamentals of training, positional shooting, intro to action shooting, stages and drages, which, you know, drages are just drills within stages. And then a tune-up training, class block of training. So that's kind of the input I've been having in it so far. James?
Yeah. So obviously Matt has put a ton of time into writing this novel here, and it comes from, you know, we're both coming from the same program, same train of thought, where previously, you know, back in the day with the Marine Corps, it was, hey, we're going from Katy, Qual, and then all of a sudden we go to 29 Palms over to whatever theater of operations. But there seemed to be a lack of training. Well, it's no different in any of the action shooting sports, and tactical games is no different. We're seeing a lot of competitors come into the sport, and you know, they see a calendar with 10, 12, 13 events, and they say, hey, I want to go shoot an event, but it's going to take me a year. I know several people personally that have said, I'm thinking about competing next year, and they start working for it. And then they hop on the internet and they start researching where the local club is. Well, there's no clubs that actually run TTG events. We used to have skirmishes, but we don't anymore. We're working on bringing those back. But a lot of the information that's kind of floating around is just word of mouth. So what we're doing is we're trying to, one, standardize any verbiage that's used. So as a competitor shows up to an event, when we say something, they know what they're expected to do. And as the training improves, the level of competition can improve as well. So the idea with what Matt and I have been working on is putting out realistic levels of training, because competitors will show up to an event and they'll watch somebody shoot, and they might be a complete entry-level shooter the first time they show up to TTG, and they're competing against somebody like myself, who's got 20 years experience in the shooting world. And they're like, well, I'm not at that level, so I'm just going to worry about picking up this heavy bag. And what Matt and I are doing is showing them, hey, in just a few easy steps, one, two, three, you can actually shoot. It's not that difficult. But we're giving them a realistic game plan as far as direct one, you know, steps to getting to their training program. So I know, yeah, it's kind of crazy in a sense, but we having the affiliate program, guys running their weekend events where we can't be with them directly at, you know, those half a dozen events that we're going to every year.
Right. And it's never easy creating something, not necessarily from scratch, but that's kind of what I want to talk about next. You guys are both cut from the same cloth in a lot of ways. Marine Corps shooting team. Well, so Marine Corps background, Marine Corps shooting team, got into the action shooting sports, fell in love with action shooting sports, got into tactical games, bolt shoot three gun. So how have these influences kind of, I guess, informed not just the content, but the way that you're going to be conveying information to these new shooters?
Well, the first thing that we noticed, definitely coming from the Marine Corps, we're kind of spoiled in our marksmanship background. We know that at least every Marine, doesn't matter if he's a cook or candlestick maker, they have the same entry-level knowledge as far as weapons handling skills. So when we deploy overseas or we're doing something, everyone that shows up should know these basic skills, and then it's just a matter of following instructions after that. Now, when we go to the civilian shooting world, people are coming in from all different levels. And being a competitor at, you know, a high level, whatever your experience level is, it's very easy to overlook the fact that other people in the sport might not have the same experience you do. And we know that just not speaking the same language, you know, peer to peer, as we're going through and doing something, if somebody says what more than one time when I'm explaining something, we're not speaking the same language. So it's really important for us to have a common understanding with everybody that shows up to these events. And that's kind of, you know, that's the general, not, you know, gist for what the desire is for training, not to mention knowing that I've put a considerable amount of time and effort, Matt as well, into training other people. And we were talking about this earlier today. It's almost more satisfying to see somebody else do better with just a little bit of guidance versus doing better myself. So it's very enjoyable to instruct other people.
Yeah, like this kind of piggyback off of what just James was saying. It's like this weekend, you know, I was at the PCSL match on Quantico, and I brought a bunch of the tactical games athletes out that are part of the affiliate I help assist with. And, you know, that none of them, you know, maybe one or two of them have shot a couple two-gun matches and whatnot, but the vast majority of them have never been exposed to that style of shooting. So they've never really seen, you know, guys compete at a high level. Like John Treat was on our squad, and they're just seeing Treat just, you know, blaze through a stage. And I was just like, they were like, that guy's awesome. I was like, yeah, that guy just did Carry Optics Nationals. And I might be wrong in where he placed, but I want to say it was like 46, somewhere. Yeah. I think he finished 46 overall in Carry Optics Nationals and Steel.
Yeah, him and Steel did really good.
Yeah. And they were like, oh my God. And like, that's what I want to show them. Like the level of shooting is so much higher in these different sports. And that's the level we're trying to bring to the tactical games. And the only way you're going to do that is by getting exposed to the different sports. And so whenever I go out and, you know, this weekend, whenever I went out and shot, I really wasn't too, I didn't care about my performance necessarily. Yeah, I want to shoot well, but it wasn't my focus. It was like, hey, how can I best, you know, inject some good knowledge on them and help them devise a stage plan and, you know, coach them along the way. And that's kind of what the point was. It was enjoyable to see them perform.
I agree. It's hard to perform at your ceiling when you're kind of being the shepherd or the custodian for others. But harkening back to what James was saying, I would say that I agree. It's definitely more rewarding, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, at this point, we've all competed a lot and we've had, you know, victories and losses, but seeing other people grow in a more efficient way than the way we were raised, that's very rewarding. And I can, it's great that guys with your level of passion and experience are now going to be sharing that with the Tactical Games crowd. Talk to me a little bit about how your conversations have been with Nick. So recently, Tactical Games changed ownership, right? Jared Halbert did a lot of great things. I think he really professionalized the sport. But now we're at a point where Nick is taking the reins. So what have those conversations been like? What has he shared in terms of his vision? What rudder steers has he given you guys?
Yeah, that was definitely something that Matt and I were both worried about as far as taking over the training program. We wanted to make sure that, you know, we weren't going 100 miles an hour and find out halfway down the road that we're going in the wrong direction. So it was very important to us to make sure that we were carrying the right banner for TTG. Want to make sure that we weren't overstepping our bounds as far as offering up too much information. And, you know, the ultimate driving factor for what we're doing is the competition. I personally enjoy going to a competition where the rules are rigid. They're clearly laid out. I know exactly what to do. And the people to my left and my right know exactly what they're doing. We're all performing to the same standard. And everybody is, one, equal under those rules, and they're equally prepared. You know, I've been to several different shooting competitions over the years where I may or may not have been the best shooter there, or at least the most experienced. And it's, you know, it's nice to win, but you don't want to beat up on a bunch of new shooters because they don't know what they're doing. And so as we started talking about that with Nick, it was pretty important to everybody involved that the growth for each of the individual competitors is extremely important to us. You know, one, we have to look at a few things. This is not a training program for a workplace. This is a hobby for a lot of people. So everyone that comes to this sport is spending lots of their time and money to do so. And as customers, you know, whether it's me going to an event or somebody else coming to an event that we're hosting, we want to make sure that they are extremely happy as a customer. And the best way to do that is to give them every resource and every bit of information that they have available to them to come into that sport. You know, there's nothing wrong with finding out that you're not prepared and that you need to work harder, but getting information midway through an event that you just, you know, somebody else had a secret game plan or something like that, it's not the nicest position to be in. So we're thinking about that very clearly with our customer base, with our client base, and we want to make sure that people are extremely happy coming to the sport, and they can't look back at us at the end of the day and say, well, midway through the event or through the season, you guys changed the rules, or you changed the measuring block of what we're looking to achieve. So that was pretty important. And, you know, talking with Nick, we realized very quickly that, you know, he's been a longtime competitor. He's extremely excited about the growth of the sport. So, I mean, that's been very nice working with him. What do you think there, Matt?
I have to completely agree. You know, whenever we had our conversation the first time with him about this, it was like, hey, we don't want to overstep our bounds. Like, how do you want us to shape this? And he was like, I want you guys to take full control and I want you guys to run with it. So, you know, we talked about, you know, professionalizing everything and just making that curriculum, and he's on board. I sent him copies of the book I'm working on. I was just like, hey, before I go any further, I want you to look at this format, see how it looks, and, you know, give me a thumbs up. That way I'm not spending too much time on something you don't like. And he's like, hey, that's good. Keep going. And so it's, you know, he's giving us full trust and confidence in developing this program. And it's refreshing because James and I now can just sit back, call each other, you know, periodically throughout the week and be like, hey, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And we're not going to get any kickback on anything we do. So it's essentially our program to run.
Yeah, that's pretty great. So we don't necessarily have to touch on, you know, the Tac-2 guns got the pause button hit on it. But there is a concerted effort to bring more practical shooting style stages into the tactical games. When there's been a lot of adoption from athletes across the tactical games, I see Nick going out there and competing. Sal is going out there shooting a lot of USPSA, did really well at Area 4. But I guess, what are those conversations like, and how do you all see practical shooting involving itself in future iterations of the games? Do you think it's going to take, and we talked a little bit about stage balancing or points balancing before we went live, James. Yep. I guess the question is like, yeah, what portion of a typical tactical games do you see it taking over? And then, and I guess, how do you see that progression over time in terms of difficulty?
Well, in the immediate future, as the events are currently staged right now, each of the regional events going forward will have at least one action shooting stage. We still have the physical floaters, and we're still going to input some aggregates, the shooting aggregates, which are nice skill builders for people to look at. We're trying to do our best to tie in and show the relevant. Like, we don't want to have a shooting aggregate that doesn't do anything or doesn't mean anything. We don't want to just put a useless skill out there like, hey, let's just see who can shoot the fastest build drill. There are some things that are pretty important to do, and they are things that you need to work on. So we're trying to tie them in. So starting at the training level, going forward up to regional events, and then on to nationals. So the standalone events, as far as the regionals, will have a single, at least one action event. And then between, depending on where we pick the regional this year, it's going to be Nevada, but we will have a standalone Tac-2 gun event tied in next to a regional event. Same thing with our sniper challenge. Now, as the training and the support from the community, and what I mean the support from the community, as more competitors are aware of what they're doing, then they're more likely to go to more of the action events. So we have to give them the education first. We don't want them to just say, hey, show up to this event that you've never practiced for. It's kind of hard to get people to show up for something like that. But right now we're doing one. Eventually it will be more. But with the training days, we're putting skill builders in that these are what actions you're actually going to see in every regional event. You're going to see these, you know, once, twice, multiple times through a normal stage. And then if we're teaching competitors in our training program, certain things, like right now, everybody's working on ropes, for example, and we're bringing back the ropes. So everybody's been practicing for the last couple of weeks anyway. Well, you know, let's see if we got some ropes coming up here this week in Iowa. But before we implement more of the action stuff, we kind of have to start teaching people how that's run. And a big part of that right now, you know, the scoring system that we're currently using for the traditional stages has been around since 2019. And I'd be surprised if 15% of the population in the sport truly know how that really scores out in an event. I told you earlier about going to Iowa, my personal goal of going through the event. And I try and coach people all the time, like, hey, your shooting does really matter. It's pretty easy to see when somebody runs faster than the next guy. Hey, you're 30 mm-hmm. seconds faster. You can very clearly see that. But then when you have somebody finish an event 4 minutes slower than everybody else in the battle, or the stage, I should say, and they're standing on the top of the standings because they shot clean through the event, and then everybody else is sitting there scratching their head. You know, I don't want the rest of the competitors to feel like they were bamboozled and they didn't know that. So that's part of the training program, is explaining to people how that balance works out with the scoring. I've said it from the get-go that if you're in any shooting discipline, it helps to go shoot other shooting disciplines. One, because you have to learn a new rule set, which is good, very good for mental management and brain training. And if you can read the rules before you go to a certain competition and figure out what you need to do that weekend, it's no different than showing up to a stage at a particular event, seeing the brief in 5-10 minutes, and figuring out and formulating a plan for that individual stage. So with the crossover for the action sports, you know, you talked about the people that, you know, like Sal and a few other guys that are shooting multiple disciplines. You know, Heppner is another example. If somebody excels in one area of their life or another, and they direct that level of devotion and training to anything else they do, they're going to be good at it. And that's what I've been trying to tell people, is this is no different than paying your mortgage, going to your other job. Like, it's going to take work. You know, if it was easy, it wouldn't be worth anything to you.
Right.
We're showing people, you know, there's all sorts of internet training for how to get rich and flip houses and everything else. And we're telling people how to be successful in the shooting sports. No difference.
Yeah. To add that, you shoot different disciplines, you expose yourself to the specialists, the guys who, like you've said, have really dedicated time to that particular discipline, that kind of like hit the ceiling there. And you can learn something from all those guys. But along the same lines, Matt, so you put together some action shooting stages for our last affiliate training weekend. And, you know, you talked a little bit about bringing some of those guys out to PCSL. But I guess, how do you see, like, where do you praise current, like, stage designs in terms of the each tactical games? Do you think they can progress a lot over this next year, or do you think they're going to stay pretty static?
I mean, with not really being keyed in on how they're going to be doing certain matches, I think you're always going to see a level of action shooting in the tactical games now, especially now that James is kind of keyed in and working on that home front. There's going to be a level of action shooting at every TTG event. You're not going to get rid of the static, you know, shooting from barricades and static positions, because that's like a key element of the tactical games itself, because it's introducing the fitness to the shooting, but they're also trying to do more the practical shooting, practical accuracy type stuff as well. So getting people involved with the action shooting sports and learning how to shoot fast and accurate and understanding a level of practical accuracy is going to be extremely important to their growth as they go through and continue to compete at the tactical games.
I think another level of it too, I just, you know, every time a tactical game comes out that weekend, I always watch the footage. I'm always looking for footage of that action stage. I was looking at the footage from New Hampshire, and it seemed like, you know, people who aren't used to practical shooting, they're kind of shooting a bunch of static positions, moving static, weren't really blending positions, that kind of thing. So I think it's also important that there's, I guess, experienced practical shooters in each particular division, because the divisions tend to stay together, right? Mm-hmm. Intermediate, tactical, elite. You have one guy who blends positions really well, and basically, you know, probably what you're going to do this weekend in Iowa, James, is able to just destroy the action shooting stage in like half the time. Everyone else are like, oh, that's what I need to be doing. And I need to be running my footwork and my positioning, and my plan needs to flow. And all those things are missing from my game. So I think also just seeing that, right? Seeing that, kind of what you guys have been talking about, seeing someone who's kind of mastered all those fundamentals is able to apply them on the spot, is also pretty important. And as we get more shooters good at practical shooting, that's going to happen more at tackle games. It's going to inspire more shooters. You're going to say something, Matt?
Yeah. So whenever me and Badziak were at the team event down in South Carolina, I remember whenever it came to the TAC two gun style stage, you know, I heard some people commenting on that stage saying, oh, the USPSA and action shooters are going to love this one because this caters toward them. And it's like, you know what? Yeah, we are going to love this one. because this is our flavor of shooting, and we're going to show you why we love it, and we're going to show you how to do it properly. We're not just, we're not doing it to put on a show. We're showing it and doing it because it's our passion, and we want to kind of put that same passion out there for you guys, because it's just going to make you better. It's going to make you more accurate. You know, whether you're a cop or you're a guy off the street, these are skills that can save lives at the same time.
And I'll admit that over the years, through various events, I've been a huge critic about the programming for the shooting specifically. I don't even touch on the fitness side of things, but I look at each stage and say, okay, well, this is a heavy bag EMOM, or this is the ruck, or this is the long run. And you can kind of figure out the flavor of what's going on. Well, what's often been overlooked is the shooting on a traditional stage and the action stages. So let's clearly separate the two categories, where the traditional stages, it's going to be a very deliberate blend of fitness and marksmanship. So we're going to have standardized lifts where you get repped or no repped, and then standardized shooting positions and a scored target. So, you know, some people call it bullseye shooting. It's not, but it's close. And we want to make sure that the degree of difficulty on the shooting matches the event and it's realistic. And then on the other side of the house, on the action side, you know, I've been to a ton of different events over the years. And sometimes you go to an event that has really awesome technical stages. They have really cool props. But someone's still not going to be happy. The problem is, let's say we're shooting, you know, the pro series back in the day, you have the top 40 professional shooters in the country all competing. Well, if you were to take 300 competitors from the normal of the events and put them into that format, you're going to have a much wider separation of time. It changes the schedule completely. And what a lot of the competitors right now are forgetting is, you know, for us that come from an action background, when we come to an event, I would like to see more action shooting because that's my strong suit. That's what's going to allow me to win. But I also am stepping up to the challenge for the things that I'm not good at, picking up heavy things, running long distances, whatever it is. And for the people that are just getting their first introduction to action shooting, I don't want to make it so difficult that they get the doors blown off and they lose motivation and don't come back. So we're kind of starting simple. We're always going to have restrictions based on the range and everything else. That's kind of a cop out, but we have to start with a stage that I want every competitor to be able to make it through those stages. And so we're putting some targets that might be a little tougher. They might take some penalties. Some people might time out. That's fine. But if we want to see more technical stages, more fast-paced action shooting stages in these events, I can't just throw them out to the competitors without teaching them first, or at least giving them some exposure. So that's where we've started ramping up. And, you know, Jared did a very good job of saying, hey, we're going to introduce these action specific stages, let people get their feet wet, start some training. They're going to branch out in the other networks and say, well, I've seen this match, you know, can we do more stuff like that? And that's kind of what's happening right now. So eventually, you know, you might come back even later this. I mean, did you get a good look at the action stages from New Hampshire there, Frank?
I saw the one that was a mixture of like paper targets and like the same static steel targets. And then I believe there was some long distance rifle shooting also involved. It looked interesting. I would say that the stages that we had in Florence were a little more on the technical side, a little more flow shooting on the move. It might have just been the shooters that were going through them that made it seem a little choppy.
Yeah, so in that particular stage, there was three required positions where they shot the steel from, and then they had shooter's choice of where they shot paper from. And a lot of people, just for the sake of a simple game plan, it was easier for them to go 1, 2, 3, and then shoot paper from each spot. And we did see a blend. I mean, as a matter of fact, Heppner, there was quite a few guys I apologize if I'm getting anybody's names wrong, but, you know, as I'm running the shooters through, it was clear that we had some action shooters come through, and did shoot on the move. And, you know, I'll be the first to tell you that at some of these events, I may not have to shoot on the move because I know based on the competition that's there, I just need to put a run down.
Right.
I need to be deliberate with what I'm doing and I don't have to go for broke with it. And every now and then it's nice to really just kind of air one out and just say, well, let's show you what we can do. So that was a good event for a lot of people where they did get to see a little more of it. And, you know, I was trying to listen as close as I could. I ran both action stages there in New Hampshire. And some people were a little frustrated with our rolling clock. You know, I tell people I'm not going to be late. We're starting to shoot every 5 minutes, whether you're ready or not. And they learned real quick that I'm serious about that. And then as they started getting the gist of resetting targets and doing stuff, you know, where if you've grown up in USPSA, you're not even thinking about that. You know what the flavor is. It's a little harder when you got people that are used to shooting in chalks. And so it's a slow progression, but it's getting there.
That was actually a topic of discussion this past week. And like somebody mentioned you whenever we were at the match this weekend that was up in New Hampshire. And they were like, yeah, James, he's very serious whenever it comes to the schedule and he's very direct. He's like, yeah, he is. And that's how things are. they were like, no, it kept things on schedule, which that's great.
Yeah. I mean, when I go to McDonald's and I order a number 9 large with a Diet Coke, it better be the same way every time or I'm going to be upset. Right. And so that's one of the big things that, again, talking with Nick was, we have to think about the end user. And previously in every sport does this. I'll be the first to say that USPSA did it when open and some of these divisions changed years ago. And then the PCC came around. They would try and do stuff to create a speed bump or a trap to slow down the top skilled shooters. And it would slow them down a little bit, but what it would do is it would punish everybody else in the lower end divisions and entry level shooters. And so at certain events you go to where you have this, the mentality of these elite competitor, not elite, but elitist, where, oh, if you haven't been in USPSA for 10 years, you're no, you know, like we don't want to look down our nose, everybody. We like that this sport is extremely welcoming to everybody. So
it is
wanting to be, I'm not gonna say inclusive, but really inclusive to each level of competitor that shows up. And for the most part, you know, if you see the forums and you see the training groups, the amount of questions that are coming up and the type of questions that are coming up, it's very easy to overlook and say, yes, this person was not into fitness and or not into shooting a year ago. And now they're into all the high-end competition firearms and tactical equipment and high-level training, fitness, supplements. And each of those separate categories are, you know, it require a PhD in each of them to really know what's going on in it. And so these people are jumping in and they're like, okay, now I've got the gear. I show up to an event and they really don't know what they're doing. And, you know, I don't want to shoo those people off. I want to welcome them in and say, now that you have this gear, you bought all the gear, you spent thousands of dollars to be here. Let me keep you here and just point you in the right direction. You are indeed doing the right thing. And the goals that you have are in fact achievable. Let me put you on the right path to that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And to your point about, you know, running shooters through stages efficiently, it's to the benefit of the entire match, because we've all been at these matches where one stage bottlenecks up. Like you have a responsibility toward the overall schedule and the entire competitive pool to run an efficient event, because it's not until you're like there at like 8 p.m., 9 p.m. at night. Right,
nobody wants to shoot scores. Yeah, nobody wants to shoot long range with headlights.
Right, exactly. Like, and yeah, there's a lot of issues there. But also competitors, you know, they'll run a stage and then they'll just go off lollygag. Like in Florence, I had to go like try to chase people in my heat down in like their cars and stuff. you know, sometimes you go to another stage and you just got to run it. Like, you're going in 30 minutes. It's just the way it is.
Yeah. You talk to the guys from New Hampshire. Some of the feedback that I was getting from guys, you know, I was making a point to reset steel and paper. I'm scoring. And some of the people were saying, well, you're working extremely hard doing this. I'm like, to teach you on the spot for this, you're going to pick up because you're watching me. So you'll figure it out real quick. And then you'll notice that, like, as I'm getting wore out, and you'll see other competitors cycle through and we'll tape and figure out, and they'll catch on to what's going on. I don't need to yell at them. You know, I don't, my first job is customer service. And I've been to a ton of events that are very well run and organized, have fun stages. And then you have one RO that just changes the entire flavor because he's yelling at people. And, you know,
yep.
We don't want anything to do with that.
Yeah, completely agree. But been a great conversation, guys. I appreciate you guys, not only for the work that you're doing, but taking the time to kind of talk and discuss it through. What should we be expecting in terms of schedule? So I know you guys are still working on this document. Is there a first iteration of your guys' curriculum that's going to actually take place over a weekend somewhere?
I can't really say that. It really all depends, because the affiliate training day program has been around. They started that about 6 months ago. So one of the things we're really trying to key in on is where everybody is up in their training cycle currently. So the document's going to be available to them, and it's going to be a matter of where they are in their programming and what they want to start with. Obviously we'd like to start them at the beginning, but if they've already done a lot of the fundamental level stuff, then they don't necessarily need to re-hit on that. But the things we do want to make sure that they hit on is the clearing procedures, making sure that's all standardized across the board, because clearing procedures in the tactical games is a very specific way in order to keep it safe and orderly. And so just re-hitting on a lot of those things. You know, with camp and university, it's going to be a matter of when the document is going to be finalized and kind of blessed off and ready to be put out.
Yeah, we're currently working with each of our affiliate instructors, the university instructors. Our curriculum, the document Matt's been working on, will officially kick over September 1 is the start there. So anybody coming on board as of that date, we'll be getting our curriculum. I mean, we're taking over everything already, but the new document format will be September 1. All of the input for changing stages and programming at the events, that's already in progress. So anybody that, you know, Iowa is going to be a work, West Virginia, I'm match directing, Nevada, I'm match directing. So if you're at any event this year going forward, it's in progress. Couple of things to look for if you're not directly involved with the affiliate program. If you're going to a regional event already, you can do any of the tune-ups, which Kirk Homer is running those. And that'll be, you know, if you get to the range early, you can actually go do live fire with one of our university instructors. We're still going to have them.
Yep. That's highly beneficial too. I mean, there's not many places where you can get rounds down range prior to going to an event. So anybody that plans on doing that, do it. You know, it's totally worth it.
Yep. And as always, Jacob and a few other people are working on our fitness programming. Sal is working the dry fire program. So if somebody comes into any of the TTG affiliate programs as of today, they're getting current curriculum.
Okay. Right. So look for changes to manifest in terms of stages, in terms of curriculum, the way these affiliate programs are teaching. But gentlemen, thank you for your time. I'm really excited for the direction that you guys are going to take marksmanship in the tactical games. For our listeners, if you have any questions, reach out to Matt, reach out to James, reach out to myself. We would love to answer your questions or point you in the right direction and let us know how we're doing. Thanks.
Thanks, Frank.